Now we know it's on. Last year, 200 million Indians suffered chronic malnutrition. A voice from the past was heard in the land. It was the voice of the priest philosopher Malthus, who in 1798 warned in his essays on population that we tend to spawn faster than the means of subsistence. He said then that men were careless breeders.
He said then that men were careless breeders.
We grabbed for all the material advantages of life. We were careless with their conservation.
Advantages of life.
Rather than take intelligent controls over population.
Rather than take intelligent controls over population.
Pestilence, of war, and of periodic famine.
War.
Now for a good long time after the publication of his book.
The advances of agricultural science made many feel that Malthus was a far too gloomy prophet. But incredibly, in this, the 25th year of the atomic age,
space age, man stands
year, the space age, man stands on the brink of the most decimating famine.
No one knows how many
die in India every day of simple starvation.
Pakistan, China.
Within 5 years,
similar dismal fate.
Will suffer a similar dismal fate.
Much of Latin America.
Within the decade, the Arab Geary
will join these starved
America and North Africa. Will join these starved and hungry nations.
Population tends to multiply at a near geometric pace.
Our programs of population control and of land reclamation tend to proceed at a snail's pace. All the nations of the world are well aware of the problem of famine. The urgency of food, the requirements of population.
There are still many medieval
cultures and at least one modern Western faith which holds on to old-fashioned moralities of population which preclude their faithful from being active. And incredibly, many of the leaders of the hungry nations
demand large defense budgets.
To turn aside capital designed for the physical improvement of their land into their pockets.
To procrastinate, to delay.
It was needed yesterday,
Syria and Jordan cannot afford to dream dreams of revenge against Israel.
The dreams are rendered into battle.
Vanities of power beguile and entice men who are corruptible. They turn them away from the hard, sweaty, dirty labor of building the dams, of pouring the concrete, of planning the hospitals, of laying the irrigation.
Of pouring the concrete, of planning the hospitals, of laying the irrigation pipes. kind of necessary work.
Planning of international intrigue.
The building of armies.
The glamour and the pomp and circumstance.
The planning of international.
Of modern-day politics.
The glamour and the pomp and circumstance.
The process.
Of modern-day politics.
These countries are bankrupted.
In the process.
Morally, as well as financially.
These countries are bankrupted morally, as well as financially.
The United States in the last 10 years.
The United States in the last 10 years
tons worth
of
surplus food
has sent 100 billion tons worth of surplus food.
February of this last year, the President of the United States went before the
February of this last year, the President of the United States went before the Congress and asked for an extension, an increase in the Food for Peace program.
Through our economic aid,
we will send more.
Through our economic aid,
our AID programs, and World Bank loans, and the like.
To give life.
Among those who have tried to give life.
But unfortunately, there is another side to our activity.
The last several years, especially
Russia,
the last year, the
Germany,
industrial powers of the West,
and the United
Russia,
States,
Germany, France, England, and the United States.
Eager to keep our defense
merchants to the world.
Eager
to keep our defense plants humming. Eager to develop favorable balances of trade. Eager to keep friendly military hunters friendly. We have plied the hungry.
Bullets and guns and tanks and planes.
Food alone which they require, but with bullets and guns and tanks and planes. We have corrupted the corruptible.
This last year alone,
we have enticed those who could be enticed.
Worth of
in this last year alone, $20 billion.
To whom only food
was sent to nations.
Hospital equipment should have been sent. They cannot afford anything else.
Hospital.
The world requires.
They cannot afford anything else. The world requires an arms embargo, not an arms race. The world requires increased agricultural yield.
And yet, great arms manufacturers of the world supported by and encouraged.
Great arms manufacturers of the world supported by and encouraged by their several governments, including our own government, who grant to these nations favorable loan arrangements. Going to the leaders of the underdeveloped and emerging
nations. Diverting their attention from that which is urgent and which is required.
Diverting their attention from that which is urgent and which is required.
The world will soon be clawing at itself. Its hungry dog.
Clawing at itself. Hungry dog's claw for the bone.
Swords more efficiently and effectively.
We try to sell our swords more efficiently and effectively than we sell our plowshares. The world will not have peace. The world will lack even the foundations on which simple justice, simple life, can be sustained. 1966 was the year in which the American
great agricultural surplus was diminishing.
Great agricultural surplus was diminishing.
We did face increased food costs.
Far from it. But we did face increased food costs.
Denver, Texas, Oregon.
Strikes in Denver, Texas, Oregon.
Food strikes. Were symbolic.
Food strike.
Symbolic of a growing awareness on the part of the American people that you have to pay.
Symbolic of a growing awareness on the part of the American people that you have to pay the price.
For the better part of 2 years, we had happily danced behind the presidential piper.
For the better part of 2 years, we had happily danced behind the presidential piper.
He played us a tune which promised victory in Asia.
He played us a tune which promised victory in Asia.
He told the American people. And we danced happily after him.
He told the American people, and we danced happily after him. He told us that we could have what we wished in Vietnam.
Poverty.
At
send greatest amount of
prosecute the war on poverty. Send greatest amount of capital into education.
Concern ourselves with mass transportation.
Concern ourselves with mass transportation, water and air.
Serious domestic problems which confront us.
And all the serious domestic problems.
This was the president's song, 1966.
This was the president's song.
He sang it before the
1966.
Of the year.
He sang it.
In the State of the Union address, he said, "We will not permit those who fire upon us in Vietnam to win a victory over the desire.
We will not permit those who fire upon us.
All the American people. This nation is mighty enough.
All the American people. This nation is mighty enough.
Its people is strong enough to
pursue our goals in
the world while building the great society.
Our goals in the rest of the world while building the great society."
The song was sung all year long. But the notes.
Song was sung all year long. But the notes began to decrease.
The war was costing more than $2 billion a month.
The war was costing more than $2 billion.
In November, it was discovered that they had misestimated the war
suddenly in November,
some $10 billion.
Estimated the war by
inflation had erased 6% of the buying power of our dollar in 18 months.
6% of the buying power.
Faced with a budget which will in the next fiscal year be the
faced with a budget
environment of 125 or 126
environment
dollars. 25% more than
billions of dollars.
The American people's common sense.
The American people's
president's confidence that he could maintain
the president's
expenditures and not bite into our prosperity and our abundance, and yet prosecute the war.
Bite into our prosperity and our abundance.
Between the president's confidence and our common sense.
And this difference between the president's confidence and our common sense.
That much would have to be cut became what was increasingly known.
That much would have to be cut.
In New York City, the program which is bringing the light of learning, literacy.
The program which is bringing the light of learning, literacy.
Will be closed for budgetary reasons next Monday.
Will be closed.
Across the United States, Job Corps centers are being phased out.
Across the United States, Job Corps
the government
centers
has
are being phased out. The government has canceled
the ghetto areas of the center cities.
Businesses are in the ghetto areas.
Bitterness of the testimony before Senator Ribicoff's executive.
The bitterness of the testimony
dealing with urban affairs by the civil rights leaders, the representatives
with urban affairs, by the civil rights leaders, the representatives.
It's classic evidence. The shoe pinched, and it was pinched most tightly on those who had the least of the abundance of our American way.
Those who had the least of the abundance.
We had danced the presidential piper, and we had danced ourselves into exhaustion and serious difficulty.
Danced ourselves in
November when the American people went to the polls.
And in November when the
election
American
results gave evidence. There was a growing
result gave evidence.
A price to pay for the war in Vietnam.
It would be a high price
to
pay.
The American people felt that they had not been leveled with. That they had not been
leveled with.
They were still being enticed and beguiled by promises.
They were still being enticed and beguiled by promises.
The president's party lost 47 seats in the House, three
the
in the Senate,
party lost
nine governors
in the House,
eight three majorities in state legislatures. And as the testimony of the Democratic Governors Conference makes abundantly clear,
Governor's conference made
this vote. One was supreme and paramount.
There are many explanations for this
vote. Of no confidence.
It was a vote of
the present administration's honesty.
Economic the present administration.
With the American people.
Honesty. With the American
1966 was a year of growing awareness and of higher costs on the domestic scene. It was a year
on the domestic scene.
And of higher casualties.
Escalation.
The year began with 185 U.S. servicemen. 40,000 serving with the 7th Fleet. 12,000 in Thailand. As the year ends, there are
312,000 in Thailand.
United States servicemen in Vietnam. 40,000
United States servicemen.
40,000 with the 7th Fleet.
In Thailand.
45,000 South Korean mercenaries fighting with our armies.
45,000
brigade of New Zealand and Australian troops. During 1966, it became increasingly clear that the American armies were bearing the major
military action.
During most of the fall and the early winter, our casualties outnumbered the casualties of the South Vietnamese army. And the figure which can be read beneath the lines, there were at least 150,000 deserters.
The pretension
that we were defending a strong, freedom-loving, and united people threatened by invasion from without and subversion from within was hollow. False.
We paid a high price
in South Vietnam during 1966. American servicemen have lost their lives.
6,500 Americans.
It's cost us $2 billion and more. Every month. The end of
the reserve. Every month.
Sight. The question of who shall be drafted and how has become a heated matter of national debate. Question of what domestic reforms, what urgent reforms, must be shelved and set aside. It's one of the primary economic issues. The war has been a difficult war and a hard-fought war. And unfortunately, it is a war without end, without victory. What have we gained for all of our expense? For all of our casualties.
All of our expense.
Viet Cong, guerrillas, commandos still operating.
Viet Cong, guerrillas,
Saigon. Bombing our billets.
Capital city of Saigon.
Our ammunition dumps.
Lacking our ammunition dumps.
The capability of the enemy to attack us, or at least the
willingness
to attack us in large-scale formation. They reverted to guerrilla action. The high casualty rate
to guerrilla action
would seem to indicate that they have done so with deadly efficiency.
We've been bombing North Vietnam for 16 months.
A greater explosive power than
we dropped on North Vietnam.
Of Europe during the Second World War. And would you know the results? Vietnamese infiltration in South Vietnam has tripled in 12
of North Vietnamese infiltration.
By our own military information, the North Vietnamese and Viet Cong
information.
Are better led and better armed today than they were 12 months ago. The policy of 1966 was the policy of escalation, and it was a futile policy. We poured almost 200,000 more men into South Vietnam. Equipment, all manner of equipment. And the Russians poured equipment into
all manner of equipment.
A week after we fired our first air-to-air missile, we had one fired back at us.
A week after we fired our first air-to-air missile,
we bombed closer and closer to Hanoi. 100 Russian MiGs of the latest type have been brought into North Vietnam, and presumably the airspace which we have controlled
uncontested
will now be contested. We began to man some commando raids against the North Vietnamese coast. The communists opened a guerrilla second front in Thailand. What will happen when we bomb the population centers of Hanoi and Haiphong?
What will happen?
Is Saigon immune from bombing? Or the estuary, or our ports.
And if of the estuary of our port.
In the Philippines and in Thailand, what is to prevent communists from bombing from privileged sanctuaries in China? One thing became eminently clear during the year, and that is for every escalation on our part, there is an equal and opposite escalation possible to the enemy. This is a fool's game that we play, and it has been foolish and worse from the beginning. 1966 was a year of escalation in the battlefield and of diplomatic talk, political propaganda, conversation. The year began with a 37-day bombing pause over North Vietnam. Diplomats scurried about doing whatever it is that diplomats do, seeking to turn this pause into a conference, to a ceasefire, and to permanent negotiations.
A conference.
General Westmoreland, the leader of our troops in Vietnam, complained that the communists were using the lull to build up their striking capacity. Secretary Rusk said that there had been no significant response from Hanoi. In early February, the bombing was resumed. But General Westmoreland forgot to say, at least forgot to mention, was that we had been using the same lull to build up our forces in South Vietnam, and that during this entire bombing lull, we had continued to bomb in South Vietnam and in Laos. And what Secretary General U Thant of the United Nations insisted on saying during the year was simply this, that the response from Hanoi had not been the curt dismissal.
The response from Hanoi had not been...
Rusk had stated it to be. And what our allies in the world continued to remind us of during the year was this, that though we talked piously of unconditional negotiations, we had anything else but unconditional negotiations in mind. For reading through our 14 points, our stipulation, it was clear that we intended to win at the conference table what we could not win at the battlefield. That we were insisting that at the end of hostilities, once the troops
were insisting that
our Vietnamese in Saigon would be in complete control of all of South Vietnam, South
control of all
parallel. Negotiation requires compromise. We were offering only
compromise.
A ceasefire. The offers for of negotiation.
The offers for
bullets whined.
Not accepted.
And men died. And more men were sent.
Men died.
More men died. And more men.
More men died.
And it became increasingly evident as the year wore on that Vietnam was an international embarrassment which the administration had not the faintest of an idea how to disembarrass itself of. We wanted out. We did not know how to get out. And our posture in the rest of the world became increasingly truculent and belligerent as our frustration mounted. General Onganya in the Argentine overthrew a democratically elected government.
The Argentine overthrew a democratic...
Sent him guns, allowed him to...